Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Well, hello, everyone. This is authoress Terry E. Lyle. Welcome to Unmasked. Let me spit it out. I'm just getting so keyed up about the subject matter tonight. Sorry, men are trashy women. So let me start this all over again because woo, wait till we say what we're going to say tonight. But anyway, I want to say welcome to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And we also want to have tonight Nicole S. Brown on here giving her opinion about sorry men and trashy women. But I first want to say thank you to all of my listeners north to south, east to west, and everyone in those 33 countries around the globe who can tune in on Friday to listen to what we got to say. And so I just want to say on this show there's no censorship, and everybody got a story to tell. So if you feel like the show might be too hot for you, this is an opportunity to hang up, you know, stop listening, do what you do, because you know something, I got to do what I got to do, and I got to keep the stories out there that people want to hear. And so before we get started on exposing sorry men and trashy women, I'm going to give you one of my old poems written that was narrated by my girlfriend, Gail Delicious Johnson. So I hope you like this, and this is called The Down Low.
The Down Low. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited that I felt guilty as if I was going to faint on the spot. It seemed like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light, complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist, savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed that later will tell the story of our hot, passionate, sexual encounter. With the intensity of rabbits in heat, as she leaned forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands began to grope her pussy and squeeze her body, pulling her closer to me. I pressed into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one. As she began to remove the scantily articles of clothing, fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time, caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes. I look at her nipples. Ooh, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Ooh, breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my cool pussy start to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breath and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy springs out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips. Her aroma of body heat drives me to a frenzy. I lick her hot, steaming pussy while her ass starts to gyrate backwards and forwards as I stretch my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum as I turn it on excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy as I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if licking into a cat with a bowl of milk. I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this. It's my last day on earth. I roll my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that was standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decide to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue, penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. Oh, I can't contain myself, reaching out to find something to hold on to. As I claw at her arms and hands, she squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. Loving every minute of it. Then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on a down low? That feels so good. Don't stop. Please. Don't stop. Right there. Yes. I'm coming. I'm coming. Authors Terry E. Lyles, voiceovers by Gail Delicious Johnson, copyright 2014.
Well, everybody, that was my poem, The Download. It was in my book, my first book, Brown Bag Poetry, that is still on Amazon. That was in 2008, but I had my friend do a voiceover on that poem in 2014, and it still sounds sexy, but let's get started first. with Chris. Chris, what is your explanation of a sorry, trashy woman?
Okay, I guess when I read the description, sorry, women or trashy women, I was thinking like women who are like rowdy or women who steal other people's men. Is that a good description?
Well, they steal men. They do what they want to do. That's what makes them trashy.
Okay.
They want to screw. They dress very provocatively, and sometimes they're just shameless. You know, they just don't care how they look. When someone is saying, "Damn, this girl got a reputation. Everybody's been up in it." You know, trash is what it is. Okay. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's all you want to say? What do you think about trashy women?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I want to say. Now I got a question. What is a sorry man? Is that like a man who cheats on you and then he's sorry? Like, can you explain what a sorry man is?
A sorry man is a combination of all of these things. A sorry man could be a person who's living on a woman that has kids, probably his own. He's not working. He's not contributing to the bills, but he sits his butt up there in the house and watch PlayStation all day long or whatever. A sorry man is a man who got a good woman as she's doing her role as she's supposed to be doing, and he out in the streets chasing other women. You know, that's a sorry man. A sorry man is that man who's going out to gamble or to drink while his family needs to have the phone bill paid, the electricity paid. That's a sorry man. A sorry man is a man who don't have any morals and don't care about the affections that someone else has for him, that he just walks all over top of her. That's a sorry man. A sorry man is that man that when that wife tells him, "Look, darling, I done fixed your favorite dish. Come on home on time." And he comes in the wee hours of the morning because he out going around. That's a sorry man. So, you know, a list can go on and on and on. You know,
yes.
What does the word sorry mean to you, Nicole?
Okay.
Well, you summed it all up, but it could be like you said, a number of things. And in my experience, the first sorry man that I ever had was the first man in my life, because he didn't really, to me, in my opinion, and maybe in other people's opinion, on the outside looking in, that it appeared that he took care of everything, but he really didn't, you know. And some of the things that if he would have taken care of. A lot of his kids would not be in the situation that they are in today. So I can say the first person in my life, the first man that's really supposed to set the foundation of the household or how relationships are supposed to be, was a sorry man, because, like I said, he was involved with my fifth grade teacher.
Wow. That's a mess. Well, you know, what I'm going to do first, before we get into something heavy, for the benefit of our young brothers and sisters, I need to let them understand what is a sorry man and a sorry woman, because they haven't lived long enough to really know. And this is for the girls that I'm talking about here. You know, if you're a young woman and you're in school, and that even after you get out of school, you're in your early 20s, if you get with a guy who says to you, "Look, I took you out two times, you know, I fed you, now I want some sex," let me tell you, no, you don't owe him anything, because he takes you out. When a person asks you to go out on a date, that implies that they're paying for it, and you don't have to pay with your body. And if a person thinks that you have to, cut that buster loose, because that's a problem, that's a red flag. And anytime a guy thinks that if I feed you, you gotta give me sex, that's a red flag, because if he's doing that to a lot of other women, you know, he might be carrying herpes around, like Usher was. AIDS, like, you know, what's that basketball player? Magic Johnson, you know. No, no, no. If a person takes you out, he's taking you out to get to know about you verbally, not sexually. That's one for the girls. Now I'm going to let Chris give one for the guys.
All right, well, I guess, I don't know, I guess what you're saying is true. I mean, you know, I don't know, see, I'm a gay guy, but I think sometimes you go out for the expectation of sex, but I think that you should go out there to get to know the person as well.
Oh, wait a minute. You said you was a gay guy, and then you said when y'all go out, you go out for the expectation of having sex? Really?
Yeah, I think guys do. You know, the guys, you know, they want to get to know the person, but they also want, huh?
Take your time. Talk slow because you're going so fast. I'm not understanding clearly what you're trying to say.
What I'm trying to say is some guys, they want to get to know the other guy, in my case, or the female, but they also, well, I don't know. See, I can't speak for guys who date females.
Well,
I can
talk
only
to
get,
me about gay
I,
guys, like you said. You said gay guys go out, but they go out with the intention of having sex. And see, I didn't know that when a gay guy go out with another gay person, that they think they're going to smash the first day. Wow. That's like a one-night stand.
Yeah, I mean, they get to know the person, and then they have sex. You know, if it's called a hookup. So if your intention is to hook up, then that's your intention. But sometimes you want to get to know the person. Not every gay guy wants to put out. But I'm saying in my cases.
In your case, most of the time, that's what they want to do on the first date.
Yeah, that's what they. I mean, they want to get to know you, but they also don't mind putting you in the sack. Because gay guys,
okay,
gay guys.
Nikki,
you should take on that, baby.
Nikki.
Oh, you calling me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. What's your take on that, you know?
Well, that even goes in the heterosexual realm because some people think it's okay to have sex on the first date, and some people don't. It just depends on how well man and the woman are getting along with each other during the first date. But, you know, to a certain extent, really believe that the man.
Well, y'all, I gotta stop both y'all on this one. Now, I'm not going to say that I never had a one-night stand because I would be telling a lie. And most people my age would tell a lie if they said they hadn't as well. And I know one time I had a one-night stand because, I'm telling you, this guy, he was, excuse my French, he was fucking fine. I mean, you know, made my heart beat faster. Ooh, shit, you know, and he was like, you know, look like a model. He had it all, you know. And, you know, sometimes when you run into a guy, females, and you run into a girl, young men, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's like somebody shot you with a Cupid's arrow, like it's just meant for you, and everything be clicking, you know. They be respectful and everything be fine. And back in the day when I was smoking that weed and everything, you know, and when you're smoking that weed, I'm telling the truth now, sometimes I feel like a whole different person. So I was feeling myself. I would say, yes, you know, I was blooming, you know. And I was like, yes, yeah, you know, don't get it, you know. And I remember this other time I was shared, you know, because my past is what it is. That's not who I am today. But thank God that what I used to be is not who I am today. But I learned from that. But I'm going to share the story. Me and my girlfriend, we went to this exclusive hotel downtown Baltimore called the Belvedere Hotel. We're on the 13th floor. It rotates. You go look at the city. They had a little piano bar, and it was all classy. And I had my little silver fox fur, white dress. Man, I was looking. I'm bootylicious, you know. I was not the size of them today, man, baby girl. I was about a size 6. I mean, everything was popping, pop everywhere. Me and my girlfriend, right, you know. And we were bottomless. And anyway, we went down there, and so we gave this guy, we told him bartender, send a drink to this guy, right, because this guy was fine. And so the guy came over. He said, oh, well, thank you, ladies. I said, have a seat. And we was talking, you know, talking shit because we was full of all stuff. We all high up smoking and stuff, right? You know, and I'm drinking my pina coladas, you know. But mine had no alcohol in because the weed was, we had that skunk weed. Ooh, Lord, you know. But anyway, we eventually invited the guy to go back to her apartment with us, right? And so what the idea was supposed to be, we were going to go back to the hotel, her house, we was at together. We were going to smoke a little bit of weed, and he was going to get a chance to get both of us, like a menage a trois. So this guy said, hell yeah, with two pretty ladies. So I said, okay. You know, so we all went back to her place, right? And so when it came time to you take your clothes off, I said, no. I said, look, I'm kind of buzzed right now. You do her first, and then later you can do me, right? So I was sitting there watching them, and they was hitting it. Pow, pow, pow. They was getting it, you know. And after she busted the nut, and he bust his, and they was like, woo, sweating and everything. He said, your turn. I said, no. I said, I don't know you like that. You know, I said, sorry, you know, he was mad as hell. And my girlfriend was mad, too, because she did it and I didn't. You know, hey, no means no. But anyway, he got her. He didn't get me to let him get out. But next day at work, she was mad at me. But the point I'm trying to make, ladies, I don't care how good-looking that man is, and men don't care how good-looking that woman is. You know that. You can't see bacteria. You can't see chlamydia. You can't see gonorrhea. You can't see AIDS. You can't see herpes. Just because it looks good on the outside don't mean you're supposed to mix that up. And I didn't, praise God, because that's why so many people at the clinic today, because they let a pretty face distract them from what they should be doing. So who wanted to say something? Let you, Chris. Which one of y'all was you may say something?
Well, I just
you're
want
right.
to say,
you totally right about that. That mm-hmm. you can't see bacteria; it's only seen under a microscope, and you can't tell who the person has been with. So you need to be skeptical of who you lay down with, even though they might be fine, or they might be your type, or they might, you know, buy you nice things or whatever. You just need to really focus on what you really need to do, which is to get to know that person better.
Amen to that. And Chris, what you have to say, baby?
Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, I was speaking about how it's common with gay guys to have sex, but I also want to put a disclaimer to say you should also protect yourself too. And that's why there's a thing out there called PrEP and stuff. So you definitely want to
it's
protect yourself.
What?
PrEP. P-R-E-P. PrEP.
P-R-E-P. Oh, PrEP. Oh, you talking about condoms?
No, it's like it prevents you from getting like an STD. It's like a pill.
Oh, okay. So y'all know that. Remember you said PrEP. Is that a pill for just men or is it for women too?
I it's common within gay guys. I don't know if it's for women too. I don't know.
Okay, because I know there's a pill that women can take called the morning after, so you don't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about that, you know. And
it's called the Plan B.
It's called Plan B? Okay. Yeah, ladies. But, you know, and also people, they got this stupid mindset. Most young people do. And I'm sorry I'm picking on y'all. It's because I want y'all to know. Because a lot of times when you're young, your friends don't know nothing either because they're young just like you are. So you got to go to an old head like me so I can give you some straight advice. I'm not sitting here trying to blow smoke up their butt. I'm trying to tell you the truth, you know. So women, you know, that's because you look good, smell good. I tell you, but get to know the family because you'll learn a bit more about that person, first of all. You get to know whether there's some mental illness going on because mental illness can go through the family line, you know. The mother could be crazy, the grandmother could be crazy, the grandfather, and you might got to have a guy that's crazy. Just like, you know, y'all watching the crime shows when you see people on these dating apps and they wind up going on these apps, dates with these people, and they wind up killing them because they're evil. You know, some people just bona fide evil. You know, just don't drop your underwear for somebody you don't know. Get to know the family. Know the medical history, what's going down the pipe, you know, because it starts off when they're young. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I see people in school, they got guys beating on them, and they're afraid, you know, they're abusing him, you know, because they're jealous about every little thing, and they very want to keep you locked down, got to know everything you're doing. I'm telling you, that's a nut. You know, if you were in high school or junior high school and you're going through them troubles, that guy's a nut. And he said, don't tell nobody. He don't love you because if he loved you, he wouldn't put his hands on you, first of all. And if he put his hands on you, you better get your male cousins, get your daddy, or get your hard-headed mama. You know, step to that brother because I wouldn't be afraid. You know, that's my advice. Okay, Chris, What's your advice? Now let Nicole have her advice.
Okay, what's my advice on what?
On things, how we expose sorry men and trashy women, the things they can look out for. Just a word of wisdom that you might have in your head. It's not having anything to do with me. Just a word of wisdom.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, just be wise and, you know, make sure that the man that you're in love with is nice to you and kind to you.
Think they're in love with. They might think they're in love with, you know, but might not be love. It might just be a factuation.
Okay, well, then my advice is, you know, don't stay with a man that doesn't make you happy.
Okay. And you, Nicole, what's your advice? You want a piece of wisdom you want to give out to our young people?
Like you said, watch who they hang with and who their family is, because birds of a feather flock together. You know, a lot of times if the guy's friends are cheaters, more than likely they're going to be a cheater as well. If their friends are women beaters or abusive, more than likely they're going to be abusive as well, because birds of a feather flock together. And that's just a word of the wise for me. And also do a background check on who you date.
Ain't that the truth?
Do a background check.
Because a lot of times they got sealed records, which shows you that they have, you know, they've been in out the criminal system.
Right.
But you right, Nicole. Another thing is good for older people, because a lot of times these older women, they act like, oh, my God, I got to have a man. You know, I got to have a man.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they'll get a no-good bust up in there, ain't doing nothing. She working like a dog, and he's sitting up there, and the only thing he's doing is sticking her. Baby girl, let me tell you, if that's you, if you're paying all the bills and that man just there, he ain't keeping the house clean, he ain't cooking, he ain't doing nothing, you know something, you can get a dildo, okay? You don't need that, you know, because
that's
some
true.
Women, especially in the South, they act like that.
That's true. And then
give me Mr. Rubber Band Man. because the only thing a dildo cannot do that a man can, he can't take the trash out, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Nicole, give me some advice for these men.
Well, for the men,
yeah.
There are a lot of bad women out there too, so you need to watch who their friends are, you know, who their moms are, who their parents are. And then too, a lot of women, men too, I have to say men too, they carry along baggage, you know, from other relationships, and they tend to want you to be the person that they were dating before, or they have been hurt so bad that they just can't get past whatever pain and trauma that they had in the past relationship. So that's a red flag. You know, you might want to take a break from that person because they haven't healed. As long as you are around that person and they're still accusing you of doing things that the other person did, you might want to just let them go for a while and just put them on the friends list, you know, put them in the friend zone. So that's a real bad factor in relationship dealing with trashy men and trashy women, because some women don't start off being trashy. Some women have gotten hurt so bad by men or even other women that were involved with the men that they were involved with, because we have this baby mama drama, and then we also have people that were side chicks and all of that. So it's just a number of factors that you need to keep an eye on when you're getting involved in a relationship with someone.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what kind of advice can you give to gay males or gay females? about how, you know, just be wise when they ain't out there dating.
Well, I have to say that you can always tell how a man is by his mother, because I know, like, you know, Mark, my late partner Mark, he was a nice guy because his mom raised him to be a nice guy. So it's all about how men are raised, I have to say. So,
I think
that's my advice is just pay attention to how his mom acts and what kind of woman his mom is, and I guess his dad too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well there's another factor.
Go ahead.
That we didn't really talk about that a lot of people get involved in relationships for, and that's like money and socioeconomic status and people's occupations and stuff. A lot of people, you know, say, you know, oh, she a nurse or, oh, he's a doctor. I'm going to, you know, flock after him. But that person may not be for you, or that person may not, you know, you may not be for that person. So you can't just fall in love with a person just because they make six figures. You can't just fall in love with a person and expect it to go well just because you and him have similar, you know, have a similar socioeconomic status. Right now you may not have grown up with that similar socioeconomic status. They say, you know, it's just like people say you can take a person out the country, but you can't take the country out the person. Or they say you can take a person out the hood, but you can't take the hood out the person. And sometimes we give people this mismatch. You know, they may have gone to school and better themselves, but they still have a little hood in them. They still have a little country in them. They still have a little suburban in them. So it's best to fall in love with a person that has similar interests as you.
Yeah, and I'm saying this for everybody. You know, you got to know what love feels like. Love is not painful. Love is not derogatory. Love is not putting a person down. Love is when you see that person, you feel like you're safe, you feel protected, you feel looked over, you feel just smiling on the outside because you're smiling on the inside. You know, love is kind.
Yeah.
You know, people are looking at what the word love is. You know, if you're getting anything that's not that, then you're not in love. You could be just stuck to a pretty face, or somebody who's got a slick way of talking, or they might be popular, and because you're shy, you feel like you want to be a popular person. No, 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 no. You know, first you got to know what love is, you know, and if you grew up in an environment that there was no love, then you have nothing to go by. Look up the word love. You know, go to someone in church, they'll tell you what love is, because the ultimate love was Jesus dying on the cross for us. You know, that's love.
Amen.
I don't know nobody who would give their child up for anybody, so love is love is humble, you know, and I want to say something to these girls who's dressed like a thot, you know, got all this coochie showing, you know, wearing clothes all up behind me and the breasts exposing it everywhere they twerking. You know, some that twerking has made women look degraded to me. This is my opinion, because if you out there and you know how to roll your butt and all this little shaking in somebody's face, if somebody grabs you because they think that you're easy and you want to work, then you get mad when the police can't find them right away. You know, don't put yourself in a situation that somebody could do something to you. Don't go somewhere to a party and you get drunk and you pass out and somebody leaves you there. Because then you're putting yourself in danger's way. You know, if you're hanging out, whoever you're hanging out with, I don't care if you're young or old, don't get to the point you can't get back home. Get the Uber or Lyft, you know, get a friend take you home. But don't dress in a way that you don't want men coming up at you, because if you dress a certain way, they think you're available, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. You got to say something, Chris?
No, I think you pretty much pounded that nail on the head. I think it's all true. You know, love is love, period. And, you know, you got to know what love is. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Nicole, you got anything to say, darling?
You hit it really well. And like you said about the certain clothes that are worn, and even the makeup styles and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that, a lot of that suggests things. It may not, you may mm-hmm. not feel like it suggests things, but it does suggest things to the opposite sex
mm-hmm.
and the same sex.
Yeah. So, ladies, when you're out there and you see somebody and your fingers are itching and twitching down there, that's not love. That's what your ass is horny. Okay, you know, when that's twitching down there and your guys y'all on the rope, that ain't love. Yeah, that's horny. Okay.
uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. You got something to say, Chris?
No, I have nothing to say to that one.
you, Nikki.
Well, I have a poem that's about love and the wrong person, but I don't know if you want me to say it at this time.
If you want to, you got 5 minutes before we run out of time. So here you go, Nikki S. Brown. She's going to give you one of her original poems. And the show doesn't have any censorship, so don't come here and complain about, ew, the show was nasty. You had a disclaimer when I first started. You ain't got to listen, but everybody got a story to tell. Tell your story, Nikki.
Okay, it's called The Hood. It's clean. Your life was good. You have no real ability to identify with the hood. You were never in lack. Poverty and its millions of whips on a child's back. You don't have what the kids that your parents had worked for have. It's not fair when you're poor and those rich kids don't have the same cognitive abilities as you. The hood. Some don't make it out alive to utilize their gifts. The hood. Some get smoking so lowly too that they think that they have no ability to rise above the norm. You're married to the hood. It's a real fight for your life if that's all. If all you had was good. Dignitaries make a hood life child scarier than it was in the beginning. The money is there, but the skills are less than plenty. You married the hood. The rules of life are much different. You're trained early in life to fight. Hood folks have a stronger fight or flight response in their hypothalamus. Our lives are out of homeostasis. There's nothing normal. There's nothing cookie cutter. We're stuck in the middle of a gumbo of clutter. You either suck in or creatively find a way out. It's no piece of cake being married to the hood. You eat well, redecorate, or give rebates. And that was my experience with, it's called The Hood. It's my experience, and it's from the refusal to return to slime, and that was just my experience with being in love with the wrong person.
Wow. So on that note, I just want to say, ladies and men, if you don't know what love is, look in a dictionary. It'll tell you what love's supposed to feel like. Look in the Bible. It will tell you what love is supposed to be like.
I have one about Marvin too.
Say what?
But I don't. It's in another book. I have a poem about Marvin too. It's called Precious Is Your Love. But I don't have it on
our time, so you won't have a chance to read it. But real quick, tell them how to get your books.
You can get them on Amazon, Amazon, Kindle, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, mainly the main book sites on the web. You can also get them on my personal websites, business websites, which is Etsy.com/shop/poetryatbest or authorNicoleSBrown.yolasite.com. And I really enjoyed myself on this show today talking about this topic.
Yeah, well, everybody's going to have their opinion. You know, if you love me, you love me. If you don't, you don't. Because you don't have anything in my relationship with God. You know, and somebody got to be bold enough to let someone tell their story and warn these little young boys and girls out here don't know jack. They think they know everything. They got to live a little bit longer than they are, you know. So on this note, we got like 2 minutes. I'm so good, Nicole. You got a shout-out you want to give to somebody?
I want to give a shout out to my friend Kamika Black, and even though she's not listening, and I want to give a shout out to my friend. What is my friend's name? I'm sitting up here thinking about her. Miss Lisa Jackson.
Oh.
And John
Thompson
from New Orleans. I'm losing it this evening, but I'll be all right.
Yeah, but she can go to the archives and she may listen to the show if she missed it tonight. Okay, Chris, who you want to give a shout out to?
I'll give a shout out to the listeners, most of all, who keep us on the air, and give a shout out to my friends and family, and give a shout out to the people of Ukraine, because we're dealing with all that, and give a shout out to all the comedians that may be listening, all my comedian friends and stuff like that. You know, they keep the world laughing.
Right.
Well, Chris, he said pretty much everything I would like to say, but I'm going to start with, love and respect and prayers go out to Ukraine, the standing for the comedians who now going to feel some kind of way because of what happened between Will Smith and Chris Rock at the Oscars. I hope they work through that. I want to say thank you for all my listeners globally and continentally for tuning in each week, and thank the people who allow me to be authentically me. You know, some people love me for just who I am. They're not trying to mold me in who they think I should be. And for those who think you're going to try to mold Terry Lau, baby girl, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm going to be who I want to be, and, you know, I'm better than what I used to be years ago, and I'm constantly growing to perfect the Christians in me. But, you know, I'm not going to be a phony Christian, you know, and things are said and people do certain things, and I'm going to expose it for what it is, you know. You either love me or you don't, and if you don't, step away. Let the real people who want to be in my space be there. Don't take up space that someone else could be present in. And on that note, thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Chris. And next week we're going to have Nikwan.
Thank you.
Murphy. He's a producer, actor, eighth degree black belt. He teaches martial arts.
Wow.
He's an armorer. He does a lot of things. And so we got to be prepared, Chris, you know. We're on top of this one. And then coming up on the 15th, we're going to have a psychic, Jenny Burke, coming on. And then on the 22nd, we have an NAACP coming back because we ran out of time when we was asking questions. And on the 29th, we're going to have a sexy grandma who sells sex toys. Hi. So April Lyons is going to be here for every bit of it. And on that note, y'all have a good evening. Y'all take care now.
You too. Good evening.
All right, you have a good one as well.
All right, darling, you too.